Hi, Christian. Welcome to the show. Can you tell us a little bit about you and your journey?
Hi, Kimberly. Great to be here. So I'm Christian, founder of AudioMob, and we provide non-intrusive audio ads within games and general apps. The way that the idea came about is I managed $100 million at Google as a strategist. I was a science partner at Facebook, so measuring the true value of ads and how they influence people. It's not as creepy as it sounds. And outside of work, I would always develop my own mobile games. I'm a massive gamer, and I love hip hop and jazz music, and I've been producing that since I was like 14 or 15. And I started streaming my own music into the games. Teamed up with my mate and CTO, Wilfred, and streaming music into games soon turned to audio ads, and we kind of stumbled upon what we believe to be a multi-billion dollar idea, which evolved into AudioMob. So that's kind of the high level background of myself.
I mean, obviously, you've got different strands there. You've got passions, you've got your job, you've got everything that you're involved in over at Google, and then also your own personal experience and loves and passions. When was the moment that you knew you want to jump over into doing something for yourself?
I was probably 19 or 20, to be honest. So a short story is immediately after, well, just before I graduated, I got a job offer from Google. I actually rejected it. A lot of people think I'm crazy, but I definitely don't regret the decision. Rejected the job offer, went into a startup, and I learned a ton of things at that startup. It didn't work out, and then I went back with my hat in hand to Google. But the reason I mentioned that story is that I've always known that I wanted to start my own business. And don't get me wrong, working at Google and Facebook, my co-founder Wilfred working at Google, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, these are all amazing companies, but we both always known that we eventually wanted to start our own businesses. But developing yourself into an entrepreneur that's capable of, raising money, leading a team, building products, selling to quite literally billion-dollar companies, your vision, it takes a lot of time to mold yourself into those kinds of individuals, and we still are developing. So we always knew that we were going to leave big tech in order to start our own company eventually. So it wasn't kind of, scary to make the jump or anything like that.
Let's talk a little bit about tech and how it's kind of revolutionizing the advertising side of things. So, can you tell us a little bit of, someone who's just starting out in terms of music, can you explain a little bit about the impact of what you guys do at AudioMob?
Yeah, sure. So I'm pretty sure most people in the music industry will know, what Travis Scott did in Fortnite in music concerts, or Logic, or the radio within Grand Theft Auto 5, or the music player within FIFA. The reason I mention these examples is that gaming over the last, I'd say maybe between 5 to 8 years, has been seen as a real hotspot for musicians to get their music into, and most of it's oriented around console games like FIFA and GTA, like I mentioned. And the reason is that when you're playing a game, you're highly engaged into the game, and you're listening and paying attention to everything that that game emits. Whether you're driving a car, the sound that's playing, etc. It's why Grand Theft Auto 5, the radio, all the music tracks end up charting, or the tracks in FIFA that are playing in the background constantly, they end up charting. Now, the impact that we have is that we are able to deliver music in the form of an audio ad into a game without disrupting the player, like in FIFA, where the music ad is playing in the background. There is, be careful what I say here, but let's just say we're working with all the majors, and there are major artists, influencers in their own right, that may speak to you when you play a game. So there'll be the artist's track, and then the artist would say something like, if you like what you've heard, click through and find out more. And this message is to players as they're playing the game. And the idea here is that we really want to bring the Grand Theft Auto 5 radio into every single mobile game. But the difference is that when you hear a track you like, there's actually a clickable prompt at the bottom of the game to instantly take the user to the artist's Spotify page or merch page or to a follow link. And the real impact that we have here is that we've designed an algorithm around the following. If you are playing a game, a mobile game, you're playing it because you find it fun. Having fun, the attention threshold is very high. But if you listen to an audio ad and you decide not to X the audio ad or mute it, you listen to a certain quartile in the audio ad, or if you click through, it means that player is more interested in what they're hearing in the ad than the game they are playing. And this is a new form of audio intent that we've designed an algorithm around. So effectively, we're able to find players that actually want to listen to your music and then drive that player from the game to a web page or app of your choice. And the caveat here, let's say if it's driving to Spotify or Apple Music, is that when the player is playing the game, they like the music, they click over to Spotify or Apple Music, they are able to continue listening to that music track in the app, in the background, and then go back to their game, or perhaps they'll do something else. So we found a number of gaps here that have had a real, real impact in the music space for indie artists and for your tier one artists. And we're seeing 1,000% increase in engagement compared to the standard platforms that an artist would use, such as Facebook, Google, Instagram, etc.
That's cool. That's really cool. Well, one of the biggest things that I remember having a conversation with someone about, one of the biggest gaming festivals that are out up in the NAC in Birmingham, I think it's called Insomnia.
Yeah.
So I was invited a couple of years ago. I mean, this must have been about 6 years ago. And it was the first year that they had had Wretch and Years at the time. So it was the first time that they had invited them, and they'd specifically invited them because they'd done the analysis that that particular audience was really into that kind of music. And that was, like, I remember at the time, almost like revolutionary, because there's one thing that the gaming industry creates that I feel that the music industry misses, which is a sense of almost a cult around different games and characters as well. So how do you see that crossover in future between that kind of cult following of a game versus being able to kind of slot in different artists? Because I know that there are a lot of different gaming companies that have already started to do this and actually create their own characters. So do you see something in your work in the future that might just enhance this? I'm guessing it's a plus, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's so many different layers to this, because it's, it's still a relatively unexplored medium, right? Gaming. Like, every single music marketing expert that I've spoken to and that manage all these tier one artists, you ask them, what games do your artists' listeners play? And, they won't have an answer, because that data set is completely unexplored. So what AudioMob is doing, we're basically building the foundation, the technology layer, if you will, to connect, an audio advertising space to gaming. And one of the things that we're doing in the process is we are demystifying, the size of these audiences, right? It's not just kids playing games. It's the average gamer is actually 35 years old or over, and a woman. So you've got a really evenly distributed audience. And what we're able to do is, through, high quality ads and the algorithms that we're producing, we're actually able to start figuring out what kinds of games people play relative to the music that they listen to. And a lot of these discoveries are really unexpected, to be honest, in terms of, we're advertising grime in, Wordscapes, for instance, or we're advertising, tracks, for instance, that a music manager may have thought would appeal to women, actually appeal to men playing, certain action-oriented games. So there are a lot of unexpected data points that we're finding out. And it's because, when you send a music track to a specific player and they actually like it, we just trust the data, and that reflects in the uptick that these artists are seeing, whether it's in streams or purchases or raw web traffic. And what you mentioned in terms of games and developing their own cult followings and in-game characters, what we hope to do is increase the scalability of that. So I'll give you an example. Let's take Stormzy that ended up in Watchdog Legions as a character. Developing, scanning the artist, getting him into the game, it's a very difficult process, but it increases that immersion. But something we're now experimenting with, sounds quite scary, but it's actually very cool, is voice synthesis, where an artist could clone their voice and then potentially resell their voice, right? So a specific ad, for instance, a music ad, can have a clone of the artist's voice. And what this will enable is the music label, for instance, or the advertising agency, to rapidly create creatives that are in context of specific games. So it creates a more immersive experience for the developer, because rather than the artist recording, 20,000 different lines, they would just clone their voice, and then the artist manager could type out what they would want the artist to say, within those specific gaming environments. So, you know, all of this activity that I'm seeing, I honestly think, you know, it's complementary to what Audio One is trying to do for the space.
Do you think there's a space then for immersive technology to start being kind of transferred into almost like a gaming culture around the artist specifically, not kind of inserting an artist into a game, more like that a lot of their portfolio might be gamified?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, like, the way that I see it is you look at the development of Spotify, right? There's thousands and thousands of different subgenres. Like, you know, lo-fi over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years has become, you know, very, very almost like cult-like music audience, right? Highly, highly dedicated, quite niche. And what I imagine is that indie artists, so not just the tier one players, but the indie artists, will be able to start generating their own cult followings within different gaming segments. Because, you know, it's not just the big games like the Watch Dogs, for instance, that people are playing. There's a lot of different listeners that all have their own, I guess you could say, portfolio of mobile games that they play. And I think there will be an opportunity for indie artists to more effectively identify where they should be appearing within these different groups of mobile games.
That probably leads me on to a big question that I think that we should definitely answer and talk about something very exciting, which is money. Gaming industry is one of the most profitable in terms of media. Music industry is lagging behind on that sense. Do you see this kind of technology affecting revenue streams for artists?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's two very different business models that you can look at. So the first model is, you know, you've got these very big streaming platforms, for instance, that the artists rely on in order to acquire users. But you do have an issue with saturation, where a lot of these users, these artists are unheard, because these DSPs, they tend to skew towards some of the bigger labels and the bigger artists. And what gaming will enable is a more even distribution of who gets discovered. Because if you think about it, let's take Spotify, for instance. There's 250 million plus users on Spotify, I think, and a smaller section of Spotify ranges between 8% and 14%, last time I looked, can be advertised to, because they are free users. You can't advertise to a premium user. And then you've got the fact that a free user that may be able to, you know, listen to a new music ad in Spotify, they will listen to a couple of music tracks. Maybe 5 minutes down the line, they get an audio ad. Then 10 minutes down the line, they get another audio ad. But with games, there quite literally is 100 times the amount of inventory that is available on, you know, Spotify's, Pandora's, Tidal, SoundCloud, etc. So there is a lot more inventory, a lot more audio spots, if you will, in order for an artist to be discovered, which brings down the price drastically in terms of being able to get an ad in front of someone. And that, thus, you'll be able to acquire more users more cheaply, similar to, you know, how an artist may have been able to do this back in the old days. So the advertising model, I think, is definitely more fair in the gaming space, simply because there's more supply. On the music catalog side of things, this is something that we're exploring in terms of, we believe there is a way that artists could effectively, I guess you could say, dynamically sell their music to any game developer that would want their music and make a small profit from that. It is an extremely complex model, because you're combining, you know, the whole licensing and royalty model of the music space with an in-game mobile streaming business model. But we believe there's a massive, massive gap there. I think it will take, you know, a year or two for us to crack, but there is definitely an opportunity there.
Yeah, I was going to ask if, you know, what's your current model, licensing individually? You know, how are those negotiations? Because that's where the hang up a lot of the time is when it comes to adverts and implementing music into any type of media.
So because there's like different kinds of licensing models. So there's a common advertising kind of model where, you know, the artist pays to acquire a user. That's very, fairly simple. Then there's another model where there is an advertiser that may want to source specific music for a specific audience. there is a model for the artist to profit there. But then on the music catalog side, there are different ways that we can get the music into the game. But then where it gets complicated is in terms of, you know, is AudioMob hosting the music track for it to be streamed and hosting the licensing? Is AudioMob teaming up with Spotify or Triller or TikTok and then using their license and providing gaming as a new distribution source for that specific license? So there are a number of business models that are in the works, but what we've got to remember here is that, you know, the only licensing model that is currently tested and proven is, you know, well, to our knowledge anyway, at scale, is, for instance, a licensing deal between Travis Scott and Fortnite, for instance, and doing those big in-game music concerts. But what we're currently working with various labels and DSPs is figuring out what is the most scalable model so that you don't have to be a Travis Scott in order to get into, you know, a big game like Fortnite, but we can bring, you know, thousands and thousands of artists dynamically into various mobile games where there is a kind of a more scalable licensing model in place. And that's kind of one of the major things we're working with in the background.
Yeah, it's obviously got to benefit the artist in some sort of capacity, but you're talking about discovery here. You're talking about being able to obviously acquire, a lot of gamers are fanatics of particular genres of music. You know, there's kind of four different types of fan and they sit in that kind of really fanatical side of things. And then the last thing is obviously two things, reduce costs and also increase revenue. So hopefully, especially with technologies like this kind of coming up and being able to play a bigger role in an industry that's already thriving, it will really help the artists, especially independent artists in the future, to kind of add another string to their bow, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, one thing that we've been like rigorously looking at, and we've got case studies to prove this now, is we built our algorithms around tier one artists, but then we noticed that we could get the price down enough and for algorithms to work with smaller artists. So we've actually started working with lots of smaller lo-fi artists, rappers, house indie artists, etc., to kind of test how our algorithm works in terms of acquiring new users. And, you know, we're really, really pleased with what we're seeing. And we're actually thinking of whether this is a subsidiary or just a different version of AudioMob. We definitely think that there's a massive, massive application for indie artists that will segment from, you know, the platform that we use in order to serve the bigger labels. We definitely think there's something more tailored that we can do for millions of artists at scale.
Well, thank you so much, Christian. Thank you so much for coming on. And where can everybody check out AudioMob? And also, if they want to hear a little bit more about you, where can they find you?
Yep. So if you go to audiomob.io, you can find out much more about our product offering. And in terms of finding out more about myself, I post a lot of stuff on my LinkedIn under Christian Facey. So yeah, feel free to either reach out directly on LinkedIn or on audiomob.io.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks, Christian, for coming on.
Thanks.